Everyone, we are glad that you have tuned in. I hope that you are healthy and well, and I'm just so excited to spend some time with you this morning. Devotions and some time in the Word. Just want you to know a reminder that there's no services inside our building for a while. That doesn't keep us from having church. Church happens wherever we are because the Spirit of God resides in us, and the Scripture says that wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's in the midst. So we know God is in the midst of all of this and all that's going on right now. So keep the faith, keep focused on God, and keep one another in your prayers. Some of the suggestions that we can do at home while we're with our families, do some family devotions, read some scriptures, do a Sunday school lesson with your kids, make a craft, make it fun, maybe memorize a scripture. There's so many scriptures that can encourage us in this time right now. So getting your kids or your family to memorize those scriptures is a great opportunity. Play some worship music in your house. Sing together. Rejoice in the Lord and in His presence. Just fill your home with the presence of the Lord. Some things you can do while you're home, send some cards to people who are sick or some people that you know that have been struggling or that you just want to check on. Give a phone call to a friend or send a text or check on those who are shut-ins. Check on your neighbors. Make sure everyone is doing well. If you can help out in any way, this is a time to be the light. It's a time to do what we can to help those around us. So thankful today for good health, and I'm thankful for the covering of the Holy Spirit over our lives. And I'm also thankful for the opportunity to minister to and reach out to others who are in need right now. We want you to know that we always have available our podcast from our church, woechurch.com. So if you need some word and some messages to go back and listen to, that is available. Again, that is woechurch.com. One of the reminders is to keep in mind our mobile ministers, those who travel, and that is their means of getting the gospel to others, and also it is their livelihood. So when churches are shut down, mobile ministries are not going out, and they need your support at this time. Buy their products. Send them an offering. Check on them and send them a text. Pray for them. Also, I want to pray for our healthcare workers and those who are on the front lines, those who are out there and about, who are doing things for others. Keep them in your prayer. Support them. Help them. Fix them a meal if you need to. Do whatever you can to help them, as well as those who have to be out and about who are still doing deliveries. I love to see how God works through things like this. God did not bring this, but He won't waste it. He will work in the midst of our people. What a great community and church community we have because we reach out and touch people's lives. His hands extended in the earth, so I thank you for all that you're doing for that. One of the greatest things you can do to help our healthcare workers, the doctors say to me, tell your folks, stay home, stay healthy, and wash your hands. So those are just some simple things that you can do, some reminders. We love you, and we are just glad to be with you today, whether it's in your living rooms or wherever you might be, in your car or whatever. But I want to start some things today. We're getting ready to go into the Easter season, Easter series, and it may look different this year, and that's okay, because guess what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is going to be first and foremost in our life, regardless of what the calendar says and regardless of what this virus wants to say. We started out talking about the Exodus out of Egypt, and the thing that kept the plagues from the house was to keep first and foremost the blood on the doorpost, and then the lamb in the house. And that represents to us the work of the cross, the body of Jesus, the blood, and the lamb that was sacrificed, the lamb that was slain. And so we keep those things first and foremost in our hearts and in our minds, because we know that that's where our strength comes from. It's only through the power of the cross that we're able to do what we do. It's all only through the power of the cross that we are who we are. That's where our focus is. It's a year of 2020. It's a year of focus. And so we are keeping our focus on the cross. So with that being said, I wanted to go to a scripture this morning out of John chapter 13, and I'm going to start in verse 1 through 9. For the sake of time this morning, I don't want to read the whole scriptures to you, but it is the scripture where Jesus is getting ready to share the Passover or the Passover meal with the disciples in the upper room. And after he does this, he sits down with the disciples and he gets a basin and he gets the towel and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. So it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put now into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he ariseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and seeth Simon saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus gets up from the table, and he says he lays aside his garments. He lays aside who he is, king, priest, Messiah. He takes on the towel and a basin, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter, being the guy that he is, says, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Why would you wash my feet? Jesus simply looks at Peter and says, Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. And Peter, in the midst of that, says to him, Lord, wash me from head to toe. Wash me that I will be clean. Jesus, in this situation, is facing certain death. But his focus was not on himself, but it was on those that he loved. He was facing crisis in his life. He was facing a very hard time, a very hard season. In the midst of that, his life and his crisis was not first and foremost. His heart was with those he loved, those he'd walked with, those he had trained, those who he knew were going to face crisis as well. And so in the midst of that, how does he minister to them? But he disrobes himself. He takes the towel, and he begins to wash their feet. And that was the job of the lowest servant in the house, to wash the feet of the people who would come into the house. And what Jesus really did there was elevate them to a status above him and to say, I'm going to model to you what a servant looks like. And the servant takes the towel, and he washes the disciples' feet. Jesus, in the midst of his struggle, his crucifixion, his being falsely accused, never drew the sword. He operated in the ministry of a servant with a towel, because the towel, as we know, is mightier than the sword. We can minister to those around us, and even those who would betray him, those who would deny him, Jesus first washed their feet. Peter, being like most of us, probably says, wow, you know, it's my place to wash your feet. You can't wash my feet. Said, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, Peter, but you will. But if I don't wash your feet, you don't have a part in what I'm doing. And Peter's response to that is, Lord, wash my head, wash my hands, wash my feet. Because I believe his desire was, you know, if he says, wash my hands, wash my head, then you cleanse my mind. Let my mind be so saturated with your presence, with your glory right now, that you wash over me with your presence. You wash away fear. You wash away doubt. You wash away discouragement. When you wash my mind, you wash my head. He says to him, wash my hands. And today I would say, Heavenly Father, wash my hands, that I can serve you, that I can be an instrument of your grace and of your glory and of your healing, even in these times, trying times right now. Let my hands be the hands of a servant that serve the people around me. Wash my bowels of compassion, the part of me, my inward parts, That scripture says, Lord, you know our inward parts. You know our thoughts. You know all about us. And he washed all of Peter, and he said, wash my feet to go where you lead me. Wherever you lead my path, Lord, help me to be obedient to you. Help me to trust you to take me where you would have me to go. And so what Peter ultimately was saying, and what I think we're saying today in the model that we see of Peter, is saturate me, Lord, with your presence in every part of my being. Let my mind and my heart be so focused on you that any thing that wants to pass through my mind or my heart has to first be filtered through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I believe that that's how we can stand on the word that says that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power and of love and of a sound mind. And I believe that today. I trust that. I trust the power of the Holy Spirit. The next thing that Jesus did was sit down to them at the what we would probably model as a communion table. And he sat down with them with the bread and with the wine. And he would say to them, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you. And he begins to distribute that to the disciples. And he distributes to every one of the disciples at the table. Ate that bread of communion. Peter ate the bread of communion. Every one of the disciples ate that bread of communion. Because I believe that that is the very thing that was in the belly of every one of the disciples that would cause them to, even when they failed, that the communion table, the bread, the blood of Jesus was what was in their bellies. And he began to tell them to just keep focused, guys. Got to keep focused on what's about to take place. And he would say to them things like, I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to be scattered. And even Peter would want to pull him aside and rebuke him and say, Lord, don't say such things. And he said, and literally he says to Peter, you know, get behind me, Satan. And really what he's saying to him, Peter, you got to stay focused. You know, for this hour have I come, for this purpose have I come, that he might go to the cross. And so in all of this, he begins to tell the disciples, you know, that trying times are coming. There's some hard times coming, and you're not going to understand right now what this all means. You're not going to see everything that's happening in here. And I truly believe that even in the time of the crisis and the things that we're seeing right now, if we will open our eyes, we will see the things that God is doing and shifting and moving right in the middle of this crisis. It's not plan B, it's still plan A. God is still in control. He's the one who I trust. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And so today I commit to him my family, I commit to him my health, I commit to him my church, my community, my nation, and my world, because I still believe that God is in control. God is our peace. He is our refuge and a very present help in the time of trouble. As we see the chapter of John 13 ends, we see that Peter stands up and said, you know, Jesus tells him he's going to go to the cross. And Peter stands up and said, I'm going with you all the way. I've got your back. I'm there for you. I'm going to go all the way with you. I'm going to back you up. And Jesus looks at Peter and tells him, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And, you know, I'm sure that was quite a hit to Peter, because he's thinking, man, you know, I'm strong. I can do this. But sometimes in when we face adversity, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak, right? So we with all of our heart, we hope and we desire that we can do the right things. But sometimes in the midst of chaos, in the midst of disorder, in the midst of the uncertain, don't have the strength that we think we do. So, you know, John chapter 13 ends there saying, you're going to deny me three times. But John 14 is a continuation of the same conversation that Jesus is having there. And what he begins that chapter by saying, but don't let your heart be troubled. And I love that, because I truly think he's talking to Peter when he says that. Peter says, Lord, I'll go to the cross with you. I'll go all the way. And he said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. But he says, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. I don't doubt that, Peter, but believe in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it weren't so, I would have told you so. And so he begins to speak comfort to Peter, even in the midst of. I believe he tells Peter that he's going to deny him so that when he happens, Peter doesn't hang himself, so that Peter doesn't give up, that Peter realizes, I got you, Peter. I got you. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe God, but believe in the work that I have come to do. Because I have prepared a place. I have prepared a sanctuary. I have prepared a place that where I am, there you may be also. And I want to read that out of John chapter 14, because I just love how that says, and it says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Said unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that dwelleth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I love that portion of Scripture because it's Jesus speaking encouragement and faith and hope and life to those he loved the most. Thomas, the doubter. Peter, the one who denies him. Judas, who sells him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus over them before crisis ever even hits. So he said, Peter, the bold will become fearful. You're not going to get this all right, but don't let your heart be troubled. I've prepared a place of forgiveness for you. I've prepared a place for you. I believe the place that he prepared for us, even beyond what happens, you know, after life here, I believe that the place he prepared for us, first of all, was a place called Calvary and a place of the cross, that we could have forgiveness and could have life. But I love that he said, I will send you the Comforter. And I want you to know today, you have the power of the Comforter that resides in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so he begins to speak over them and reminds them, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he said, the Spirit of truth will come. And he says in that last verse there, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I believe he's prepared a place for us. Just believe is what he's telling them. And when it goes on down into verse 26 through 27, it said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, he will teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance which I have said. I can't reinforce to you enough how powerful knowing the Word, knowing the Scriptures, understanding what the Bible says, knowing the promises of God in our life, being able to pull Scriptures of comfort and peace and hope and life out of the Word and out of the Scriptures so that you can reinforce those things to yourself. You know, there are Scriptures of mine that are favorites that I am forever quoting to myself. When I want to be encouraged, I can speak the 23rd Psalm over myself and remind myself that, you know, the Scripture says in the 23rd Psalm that he's talking about how the shepherd takes care of his sheep. And he said, he anoints my head with oil. And I got to tell you, there's many times I've prayed over myself and said, Lord, you need to anoint my worried mind. You need to anoint my fearful mind. You need to anoint my discouraged mind. You need to anoint my thinking that my thoughts are focused on you and not on crisis, not on anxiety, not on despair, not on fear. We speak faith over fear. And we're saying that over and over again. Let your faith be louder than your fear. I love the little picture that's out there that's the little kitten going into the prayer room, but the lion coming back out of the prayer room, right? We know the power of prayer. And I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to speak life over your family. Speak life over your household. I encourage you to speak the word and the scriptures to yourself. Read devotions with your family. You know, when we're fearful or we're afraid or we're focused on a virus, then our kids see that. People around us see that. They recognize our fear. They see our fear. But when we can speak faith and confidence, then they will be strong and confident as well. And so verse 26 through 27 of that same chapter says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So that remembrance, he brings back the word and the promise of God, which are yes and amen. He said to them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. I can't speak that over you enough today to tell you, Jesus said in his own words, it's in red letter writing, it's in your Bible, Jesus said and spoke in himself, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not just peace, his peace he gives to us. It's not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus spake peace over us. I speak peace over us today. I declare that no weapon formed against us can prosper. I declare that the scripture says, by his stripes we were healed. Our healing comes through the cross. Our comfort and our peace comes through the cross. So as I think about this today, and as I said, the title of my sermon today is Don't Let Your Heart Be Troubled. I don't want you to have heart trouble today. Heart trouble is when our heart becomes so consumed with everything else that it's not working effectively. And I believe that through the power of the cross, the peace that God speaks over us today, peace to our mind, peace to our heart, and even peace to our lips, so that we speak life and not death, that we speak hope and not despair, that we speak healing and not death, and that the words of our mouth are powerful and they carry the power of life and death. The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. He is my fortress and my God. I want to pray with us today before we leave, before we close out. I know that we have many prayer requests in our church, and I'm sure that there are many other prayer requests out there at all as well. And I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that we can stand together. Threefold cord is not easily broken. But I believe we stand together in prayer and faith, believing all across this nation today. And just as it may seem like church doors might be closed, hearts are open. The message of the gospel is being spread across our country right now as we speak. And the word is being shared through media, through television, through, you can find Bible apps on your phone. You can get things on your computer. We are not without the word today. And so pick up your Bible, put on some praise and worship music, spend some quality time with your family today. Enjoy being together. One of the great things that I think that's coming out of this. We can't expect the White House to fix everything. There are things that we can fix in our house. Let's do it today. Let's have prayer in our homes. Let's have devotion in our homes. Let's have some praise and worship music on, and let's just enjoy our time together. Let's pray. Let's everybody just join together. Wherever you are at home, I want you to just join in prayer with me. Pray out loud. Pray silently. Pray however you want to do it. But we're just going to decree and declare what the Word says over those. We're going to pray over those that we already have been lifting up in prayer on our prayer list, for those who've been sick, for Lisa and for Amanda and for Pastor Shirley, for Mana and the Potters and all the different ones in our family and in our church. If you haven't, if I didn't mention your name, it's not because we don't care, but we just want you to know that you are loved and in our prayer. So let's pray, can we? Father, I thank you today. I thank you that you are our peace. I thank you that you are my source. You are my healer, God. I thank you that right now, Father, across every living room, every home, every part of our nation, Lord, I just decree and declare that coronavirus has no power, has no authority over us, Lord, that it's got to go in Jesus' name. I decree and declare that your word says that by your stripes we're healed. Father, I thank you that you are touching right now, that you are healing right now, that you are covering right now our healthcare workers. Lord, that cancer's got to go in Jesus' name. Sickness has got to go in Jesus' name. Lung problems have got to go. Kidney stones are broken up. Hurt backs and blood clots and all those things, Lord, that would try to come against us. Lord, I thank you for the power of your presence. I thank you for your healing virtue that is flowing right now. And I thank you that our nation is being washed. Just as you washed the feet of Peter, Lord, I thank you that our nation is being washed with the cleansing power of your Holy Spirit, and viruses and sicknesses are leaving in Jesus' name. If you are wanting to give today, you are welcome to go to our website, wodchurch.com. There's a place that you can give there. Some of you have asked about that. If you want to send your tithes in, you can send them to Word of Deliverance, 116 Harvest Drive, and you can send that, and they'll take care of that. First and foremost, we want your house to be healthy. We want your finances to be blessed, and we want you to be blessed. And if you have a need, and we can reach out to help you in any way, that's what we want. So our priority is you. We'll gather together soon. And I know that it won't be long till we'll be back in fellowship. And I miss corporate worship, but we can also have our own worship time together. And when we come back, we can be so full of his glory that it'll just be a time of rejoicing and fellowship together. So God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. We love you. We believe in you. And we know God's got this. So don't let your heart be troubled. Good. All right.